And we need to slide up here, if that's okay. This is a mega short talk. We've only got one slide, so we know how long it is. What is the true spirit of Christmas? Okay, have a think, because I'm going to come round and I won't pounce on anybody, well, I might actually, if I know you really well. What is the true spirit of Christmas? Please don't give me a sermon. I would love one word or a couple of words. What is the true spirit of Christmas? You get later to say it, like all the other stuff.
Joy.
Joy? Okay, joy. You're still deciding. There are a lot of people. Okay, anybody else? True spirit of Christmas. Okay, Bridget? Gosh, you can come again. You're wonderful. Thank you. Anybody? Oh, you've thought of something now. Okay, this is not just for youngsters. We know they're very bright. Blessed of Jesus. Okay, you can come again. True spirit of Christmas. Any thoughts? Can't answer you guys because I've got to be nice to you. Cool. Celebration. Celebration. That's a good one. Anybody else? Anne, do you want to shout it out?
Others
first. Okay, Henry would approve of you. Anything else, Mary?
Saviour.
Saviour. Okay, anything else anybody wants to add?
Jerry.
Okay, Laurie, you've had one already. Chris?
Hope.
Okay. Right, any other? Okay.
Yes.
Right, peace.
Charity.
Okay, right. Amanda?
Gift.
The gift. Okay. I might come back to you again with something else in a minute. You came up with most of the things I sort of wrote down, but of course lots of people give different answers, wouldn't they, really? I was talking to Ashley this morning, who's off to Costa Rica tomorrow, is that right, Pauline?
Yeah.
And he said to me, well, I'm coming playing table tennis, you know. Can't say ping pong, it's a bit, but playing table tennis. And he said he's back on the 21st of December, he's going to find it really hard to get into the spirit of Christmas. So I went, okay, so he talked about a bit about that. So I thought some people might say celebrating the birth of Jesus, so we had celebration, we had Jesus. And if we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, is that what we're really doing well, or are we doing it badly? How are we doing it at Christmas? You had most of the things. I had kindness, I had family. Nobody said family. I thought somebody might say that. Might have said other things, humility. What a lot of people have said to me over time, not necessarily in the church, although I sometimes say, is Christmas is for the children. I hope it's not just kids. Nobody said to me, eating together, which in this church really surprised me. I thought you were going to say it's lots of feasting and lots of eating. One pastor in Canada said, the big idea is to do good, to be rich in good works, to give generously to others. So, I don't know what you think. But what is the heart of Christmas? We've talked about the spirit of Christmas. What is the heart of Christmas? If we stripped away all the commercial aspects, so commercial is all the buying and selling and for profit, I'm not talking about, you know, making gifts and things like that, but if we stripped away all the commercial aspects or the things that we do, what would really be we'd be left with? What's the real heart of Christmas? So if I said to you, okay, Cara, I'm going to give you £20. I was going to bring it with me, but I have £1.40. Somebody borrowed that on the way in. So it's that sort of church, so watch it. Mind you, it was for the milk afterwards. I said, you've got £20. You are organising Christmas this year. It's not your mum, it's not your dad, it's not your grandma. You know, you've got £20 to organise Christmas. What do you think you would spend £20 on? Can you think about that for a few minutes? You can discuss it with Eric if you want. Call a friend, work out what you do. Okay. What do you have to do at Christmas to make it meaningful for you? Whatever country in the world you come from, because strip away all the cultural things, in a way, can't take all of them away, but what do you have to do to make it meaningful? So, a suggestion.
Not 20 quid. It's going to cost you a bit more for the order. I can't just spend 20 quid.
On the Christmas dinner.
The Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Because Christmas time is dinner time.
I think she's got something really there, actually. Let me be awful and ask your mum. Do you agree with her?
Yeah.
That was a statement. Yeah, you have to, you can't this way. Any comments on that? Who finds Christmas very pressurised? You can be honest, you don't have to be pretend to be homely. And you don't find it pressurised. Yeah, that's interesting. What have you sort of stopped doing? Oh no, I shouldn't ask that, I just thought what you might say. Well, how have you got rid of some of the pressure? It may be because the kids have grown up, okay. What do people find unhelpful about Christmas? Anybody like me to tell me something they find it may be pressurised because it's unhelpful? You hang on.
Christmas Day, Women's Magazine.
Yes.
General idea.
Yes. We could talk for hours about that. Yeah, the idealism of it, the ideal family. If you ever find this ideal family, I don't know what to look anyway, but what the magazines put across, I see Mary Berry's on Songs of Praise, so I wish she were cooking for me, I must admit. She's such a lovely lady. But the sort of idealism of Christmas, in some ways, can be quite unhelpful. Okay, so I promised you this wouldn't be long, so you're thinking about that. What is the real heart of Christmas? Now, I know Chris Bodican, that's Megan, by the way. Hello, Megan. Happy Christmas, Megan. Not yet three. Right, who banned Christmas in England? Chris Bodican mustn't answer this, she knows the answer. Between 1647 and 1660. Dummy. Elizabeth I, did she? She can't remember whether she'd been born or not born. My history's so bad. It wasn't Elizabeth I, I think she would have been. It was the English Parliament, but Oliver Cromwell's always sort of blamed for it. And of course it was a reaction, in many ways, about what Christmas had actually become. It wasn't just that he was a killjoy, people love saying he was a Puritan, he was a killjoy. It was because it was so commercial and really, really awful things happened at Christmas time. Some of the first Christmases in Rome, what the Christians loved to do was to kill Jews. So, you know, it was actually a reaction, even though you think, oh, horrible man, you know. In America, it was banned for even longer. But of course, it didn't really work. And so they unbanned it. Well, I suppose we all have the choice, don't we, in some ways, how we celebrate Christmas. And yet, we don't always, because often when we're younger, we're part of families that celebrate in certain ways. We're all part of groups that celebrate in certain ways. So it's a big question. How do we choose, if we can, to celebrate Christmas? And how do we keep the spirit of Christmas and the heart of Christmas? This is the bit that I want to suggest. Put simply, I think the true spirit of Christmas is about God's love for the world. We always start with human beings, and actually I think it starts with God's love for the world. And that's been our theme as a church through the year, loving the world, question mark. So John 3:16, that very famous Bible verse says, God loved the world so much, that he gave everybody a pay rise. And he gave his only son. He gave his son so that everyone who believes in him would not die,
that have eternal life, not just when you die, but real life, fullness of life, spiritually, physically, in every sense. So for me, if I'm really thinking about it, it's taken me 61 years to get to that. I think Christmas is about God's love for the world. And of course it doesn't end there, because once we think about God's love for the world, we have to think about what our own love for the world is in which we live. And that's a very big question. Now, our readings tonight from Luke's Gospel told us a little bit about the birth of Jesus. There's not an awful lot in the Bible. It's very special what there is. We certainly don't know the specific date of his birthday. I have to tell you this, and I know you know, it doesn't tell us in the Bible that Jesus was born on December the 25th. So Jehovah's Witnesses at the moment, our next door neighbours, have been going around and saying, look, he wasn't born on December 25th. And I did once have a very upset person who rushed into the church with a Bible to ask me to show her where it was so she could go and show the Jehovah's Witnesses, and had to tell her she couldn't do it. We haven't got the foggiest idea in some ways, although all sorts of calculations are done. Christmas is celebrated by most Christians, not because Jesus was born on December the 25th, but because we want to celebrate that God became a human being. We call that the incarnation, God with skin on. And as John said in his gospel that we read tonight, the eternal word, the creative power of God, became flesh, a human being, and lived amongst us. And that is what we are celebrating. Amen. Hallelujah. But we've got a saviour, a rescuer. Somebody said that, saviour and the world, the word there. And Christians still celebrate that whatever day they celebrate it. And in fact, in a way, we celebrate it every day, not just Christmas Day, but we make a special effort in some ways around Christmas. Christians pick that date because, of course, there were plenty of pagans, and there are plenty of those around now as well, neo-pagans, who worshipped things concerned with Saturn, Saturnalia. And so Christians took lots of the ideas, and that's what Christians often do, and incorporated them, or Christianized them. Trouble is, sometimes they took on board far too many of the pagan ideas, and we celebrate in quite a pagan way, not particularly a Christian way. So there's overindulgence. And, you know, we all know about that, whether it's through money or food or whatever and so on. But it is a special time. It is a feasting time. It is a celebration time. But loads of the things we do have nothing to do with Jesus. I love Christmas trees, but there's really nothing to do with Christmas, except we take a good idea. Albert did us a favour and he brought these lovely trees in, and we say, well, they're evergreen. They're a sign of everlasting life and so on. But really, they are taken because there are still places in the world quite happy to worship trees and things like this. So mistletoe, all these things have come often from pagan ideas. And it's quite interesting to, you Google some of that stuff. You've got to go back to what the heart of it is. So here's the Christmas challenge for us who say we follow Jesus. How will we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the love of God? I have to say, I think a meal is a very good way to celebrate, because Jesus put a meal right in the middle of all of our worship, was right at the centre, and it's to do with relationships and friendship, and inviting strangers to our table, not just our family. We once really brought our dad, it was great, we loved it, when the milkman got so snowed in, he came to Christmas lunch. And that was just such a fun Christmas lunch. There should always be room at our tables for those who would be strangers and friends. So here's the challenge. The very heart of Christmas is a declaration as well to the world. We have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. So I think Christmas is also about telling others how Jesus came. That's not always easy, is it? But we can talk about that with people who may have faith, maybe different to our own, people who may be secular, people who may be looking at values and so on. We can talk about that. So, the challenge is to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, and hopefully to bring worship to Jesus, and hopefully to stop some of the confusion that there is around Christmas. And there's great confusion about what Christmas is, I think. It's not a time just to get wasted, which some people seem to think, and be miserable for everybody else and so on. So perhaps we can think how we want to celebrate Christmas this year. Here's a few suggestions. Why not read the accounts in the Bible about the coming of Jesus? One good thing. Think about what you can do to share the love of God with others. Sometimes families decide they'll only give little gifts to one another, and they will give some of their wealth to other people. Maybe have a special meal for people, or help in some way, whether it's somewhere like ISIS or food bank or inviting a neighbour. All those things, it's nothing new, but maybe that would help. Let me be even more daring. Maybe we should stop doing something around Christmas that is uncomfortable. Maybe there's certain things we just have to start to say. I don't want to do that anymore. What do you do? Or might be a little more difficult. Okay. Lord, we pray that this may be a meaningful Christmas. We thank you that we are thinking about what the real heart of Christmas is. And we thank you again, Jesus, that you came, you are willing to come. Amen.
You're well ready to sing this one, so here is going to announce this for us, I think, here. Our next song has become quite a tradition in our church over the last few years. It's called Midnight. But it's not a traditional carol. Not the carols that we sing are traditional. Having said that, they're probably only just over 100 years old. This one's probably about 5 years old. But it's coming from schools. There's a couple who write songs for a company called Out of the Ark. Taken this song from schools and we brought it into our church. And it's got a different tune, it's got a jazzy tune. You need to stand up and sing, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. But in the chorus, it talks about how this is the greatest story ever written, and that's really true. So hopefully you enjoy singing with that.
Thank you.
popular reading. Is it Lola?
Reading from Luke 2, verse 6-20. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of God, heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried up and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, he told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all that they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel.